this morning, and we are going to move into, we have some wonderfully talented people in our congregation that just want to minister and sing this morning. What is that? Yeah. We're going to try to fix the sound real quick if you just give us a minute. Something's on that shouldn't be on.
Sound like she was ready.
Well, we know who's going to be replacing Christine soon.
Thank you. Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy gives sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with ease? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels try? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know?
Okay, there we go. I wrote a piece about a place called a secret room. And there are times where it seems like your whole world is crashing down. And it seems like you're going through some really, really bad stuff. Or it just seems like, what is going on in this world? And you need to figure out how to deal with it all. And what I want to do is encourage you to go to the secret place. And that's the place where you can lay all your burdens down before God and meet him there. And don't just lay it down, but just sit and listen to what he has to say about it. And on those days, that's when a troublesome night can become a divine night. So the name of this piece is called The Voice from the Secret Room. I sit in my secret room on this lonely, silent night, thinking about all the things that are not quite right. Like how people work hard and they can never seem to move up, because as soon as they get money, a bill comes and knocks them right back on their butt. Kids are hating their parents. Parents are hating their kids. Friends are no longer friends. Believers can't seem to fit in. People are feeling alone. What in the world is going on? The politicians are doing what they do. Democrats are being Democrats. Republicans are being Republicans. And yet the Christians, they're forgetting how to be Christian. And God, your church, Christians are posing as believers and coming to church because that's how they were raised. But they don't really believe you, God. They don't know you're worthy to be praised. And so I go to them looking for someone to encourage me. But they have nothing to offer because they don't know you, God. They can't help me. And let's talk about our loved ones that have passed away. We never considered how final gone is really gone until they're really gone. So we lay awake with broken hearts, ripped apart, trying to figure out how the next day will start. Just more of them no longer with us. God, are you really with us? God, we have questions. We need answers now. We are hurting and we need your help. How much will you allow? So we pray and wait in their silence. We pray and wait and there's more silence. We cry out some more with no answers inside. God, can you hear me? Why are you so silent on this night? So in search of your voice, I go back to your truth. I search the Bible to hear from you. And in this secret room, from my heart to my head, I heard your voice, and this is what you said. I will comfort those who mourn, for they are blessed. Come to me, you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will supply all that you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, but do take heed. You will weep and mourn, and the world will rejoice. It's because you follow me, because you made a divine choice. But take care. The world does not have the final say. One day your grief will turn to joy, and no one will take it away. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me. But I have overcome the world. Don't be afraid. Just believe. I did not come to bring peace, but instead a sword. My way is the truth. I am the living word. In your own house, you may find an enemy. But whoever loses his life for my sake will live with me in eternity. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. For them I lay down my life, and my promises I do keep. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow. I am the resurrection and the life, and eternal death you will never know. My Father's house has many rooms. I'm so excited for you to see. But no one can enter his presence except through me. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe that through me you can? Ask in truth in my name and I will do it. You are my sheep. You hear my voice. Just listen to it. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one from the future, present, and past. I am the Christ. Behold, I am alive. I have placed my spirit in you, and now you can thrive. Keep meeting with me in this secret room. Hold on to your crown. It won't be long. I'm coming soon.
Hey, I've been healing from leg surgery on Friday, and as I was playing, I've been feeling pain ever since surgery, but I truly believe the violin is healing. I don't feel any pain.
Sleep, my son. This manger for your bed. You have a long road before you. Rest your little head. Can you feel the weight of your glory? Stand the price. Does the Father God your heart for now, so you can sleep tonight? Go to sleep, my son. Go and chase your dreams. This world can wait for one more moment. Go and sleep in peace. I believe the glory of heaven is lying in my arms tonight. Lord, I ask that He, for just this moment, simply be my child. Go to sleep, my son. Baby, close your eyes. Soon enough, you'll save the day. But for now, dear child of mine, oh, my Jesus.
The biting wind stings her hands and face. She pulls the thin spring jacket closer to try to fend off the cold, but it does little good. Her coat is made for balmy weather, not the penetrating winters of the Midwest. She's lived here all of her life, but as she says later, her real life is just beginning. That beginning comes one night at the local skating rink, where she's a skate girl. The handsome, wavy-haired football player comes through the door with his buddies, and her heart flies away. He is from a solid, stable family, so different from her own. Hers is a splintered family, a distant, cold father, followed by a cruel, selfish stepfather. There's want in every area of her life. Even her adored mother is slowly succumbing to the cancer that would end her life at age 49. The football player and his family soon grow to love this raven-haired young woman. He also sees her painful life at home and how very little happiness that she enjoys. Christmas is approaching, but she feels no anticipation. Her holidays do not include festive parties, tree trimming, and family get-togethers. On occasional Christmas mornings, her father drives to the curb in front of the house. If she comes to the car door, she is handed a $1 bill through the window. She turns to go back into the house, and she does not look as he drives away. This is his Christmas gift to her, and each year it is the same. Later in the day, her mother's sister always brings a gift in a brown paper bag folded at the top. This has been the pattern of her holidays for years and years, but that is about to change. He is smiling, a broad, toothy smile that she has grown so to love. She sees the excitement on his face as he brings from behind his back the most beautiful package she has ever seen. There is colorful holiday paper secured by a broad band of satin ribbon that ends with an exquisite bow. She has never before received a gift like this, boxed and wrapped just for her. Her hands tremble a bit as she carefully separates the paper and opens the box. What could it be? The beauty of the wrapping could only mean that the gift to be discovered must be very special. As she pulls the sheets of tissue away, she holds her breath. A coat, a brand new winter coat, camel colored with bright red trim. Her eyes widen as she pulls it from the box and stands to put it on. It's even lined. His smile is filled with love and tenderness as he watches the scene. She gathers it around her body and smells the newness. It is the most luxurious coat she has ever seen, and he has given it to her. She discovers that the gift inside is even finer than the beautiful wrapping that held this treasure. The raven-haired young woman and the handsome gift giver are my parents. When I first heard my mom share this story, I was struck immediately with the message that it sent to me. Packaging matters. Getting a dollar bill through a car window does not compare with receiving a gift that is wrapped to reflect the value of what's inside, or getting a small gift in a used paper bag just isn't the same. Packaging matters. The world so needs what each of us carry inside. Jesus, light of the world, the answer for every need, the hope for every situation. So how do we package ourselves? The Bible speaks in 1 Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. My mother clothes herself with each of these virtues. She came from a desperate place where she experienced hunger, sorrow, physical danger, and years of painful memories. And yet God's grace abounds in her. It shines from her every single day. Isn't that great news for us? The difficulties that we endure can serve as a means to adorn our lives with beauty. Compassion can be born out of cruelty. Kindness can spring from judgment. Humility from condemnation. Gentleness can grow from violence and patience from despair. We have an opportunity to be a beautiful package, adorned by God Himself. Perhaps those without Him will be attracted to what they see. Perhaps they will be curious to open us up and discover what's inside. Perhaps our packaging will be irresistible and they will find the treasure that we hold, the gift of life. And this is my mom in her coat. I wish there was color back then. It's a camel color with red trim. And I think most of us would rather get a package like that than this through a door from a man that mistreated us all our life, or this under the Christmas tree. We have the opportunity to be the package that the world is drawn to and wants to open, and we have everything that they need.
Incredible story. That's why we need fathers. Believing fathers. One father gives an opposing message to the Heavenly Father. Completely opposing message. My sister texted me this week and said that she and her children found a man at the end of their street, face down, in the cold at night, and they knew because he always walked his dog, and his dog came back, but no man. So they went down and found him, and he was face down drunk, and they took him home, and the whole time he was telling them how his dad told him he was worthless all of his life. Another opposing message to what your father sees and the value that he has. I had the privilege of knowing Christine's grandfather, Vicky, my mother-in-law, her dad, for just a short period of time. Christine has cultured me. So whatever you see right now, believe me, it's come a mighty long way. And I'm the least dressed for the occasion today. But let's not forget Jesus, who was identified by a kiss because he fit in. But I said that to say this. I had never been to Florida until I met Christine. And we went down to Florida, and I was so excited. We were going to spend about a week there. Matter of fact, they lived in Virginia, and they came down 95 and dropped all the way over to 85 to pick me up to go get back on 95. I guess they love me, or at least they love Christine. But we got down there in Florida, and we spent one day, and we got a phone call that Vicky's dad had passed away, this man that she talked about that gave the coat away. And as time went on, to the funeral service, after Christine's grandmother was going to be moving and all this, we sat around one day, and all of a sudden, some knowledge slipped out of her. And I'll never forget it. It's always touched me, and it wasn't until I knew that Vicky was going to be saying this story today that it reminded me of something that impacted my life from that point forward. Just one day, Christine's grandmother, she said, "Well, we're just not going to be able to do what we've done for so long," speaking of her grandfather's passing. I'm like, what is she talking about? And then it was out, and she explained what it was. It's like, well, he had continued to work one job, but they were both retired. They were both volunteering at the VA hospital, but they had also continued other jobs. He had continued other jobs. She said, "We're not going to be able to give to missions." He worked a whole other job just to give and support missions. Said, that man is a tough act to follow. But it helped put goals in my life of what goodness was and what it meant to have compassion and to do more. That man served our country. He received awards for, I mean, you could just tell story after story. He was a war hero. I mean, he was an amazing man. So I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, leading up to today, I just want you to know my part, I've got right here everybody's part today, and that is my part. All these people have their part and what they did, what key it's in, what instrument they play. Mine is Pastor John Morgan and nothing. And my wife came up with this. So as we were all here early this morning practicing, and she said, and this is where Pastor John briefly speaks. I said, briefly. So I just want you to know that briefly is my gift to you this morning. I thought the only thing that would make Haley's song better this morning, if we had George doing a trapeze. I really did think that. I didn't think of that just now, but I did. I thought, I'm sorry, and there I go showing you deep parts of my mind right now that scare you. No, I did want to share just something very briefly, Christine, because God can work miraculously in small amounts of time. But there's a scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And to me, that's my scripture for today, this time of year for you. Because I've been leading up to this point today, the last couple weeks, I've talked about evaluating your year, evaluating what's happened this year in your life. Some of that, hopefully, has been very good. Some of that may not have been so good by your choices or by other things or by circumstances. Life happens, right? But as you evaluate, I want you to think of this. Right now, there are coaches at the end, football coaches that are losing their jobs, and now their universities are looking for new coaches. And you know what they're going to look for? Past experiences. They're going to look for how good they did in the past. There are people that are going to be getting loans for new homes. You know what they're going to be looking for? History, credit history. How well you've performed in the past. But the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things, my history, has passed away. Aren't you glad that there is a God that does not judge your future based on your past? We live in a culture that does, but he does not look at your future and present you with a future that looks anything like your past. And I'm so grateful for that. I can compare it to the windshield of my car and the rearview mirror. So I would say this. Your windshield is your future. Your rearview mirror is your past. If you take a glance at your rearview mirror, and then you take a glance at your windshield, if what you see in your windshield looks at all like what you see in your rearview mirror, you need to turn around. You're going the wrong way. There's a future for you that's in Jesus Christ. And thank God it's not based on my past. He took care of every bit of that. Amen? Amen. Merry Christmas. You're welcome. Because of a comment that has been made, you'll figure it out in a few minutes. I will come back at the very end and make one more comment. I got to leave you with a laugh. And if nobody else laughs, I don't need other people to laugh for me to laugh. I figured this out. The art of it all is being able to laugh at yourself. I am pretty good material all by myself. But I am going to come back. And I want to say this. I see some new faces out there. Every one of you. Welcome. We're glad that you came today. I hope you've enjoyed this. But You can't not enjoy what's coming up. It's the children, and they're always a hit, and I can't wait for them to come. So now, without any more reservation, here comes the best part of today's presentation.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh come ye to Bethlehem.
Come and behold him, born the King.
To see the baby stood by his mother's side. He laid the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night. The shepherds wandered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone in sight. Missed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. God came down on this glorious night.
See it out, Jesus Christ is born. world is quiet, the stars shining in the sky. Below in Bethlehem, the king is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night.
All right, everybody. So Hopi's a camel, and just so nobody forgets, she wanted to tell everybody what day of the year Christmas is this year.
Hump Day.
Good job, baby.
Wasn't that good? Give them all another big hand. Like I said, I only had one more comment to make, then I'm going to turn it over to Christine. The last little girl that sang was Elise. If you don't know, that's David Morgan's daughter. So I guess we know who's going to be replacing David.
Yes.
No, that was good.
You can tell we're just family around here. We hope you enjoyed today. Thank you for everyone that gave their gifts and talents today to make it such a beautiful day. We usually do door prizes every year, as you know. And we made an executive decision today, or this week, to not do door prizes this year. Instead, we took all of that money plus much, much more, and we helped out and to provide Christmas for a family of seven. So I just wanted you all to know that's what we decided to do. I had so much fun picking out bikes and gifts. It was just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So you all had a part in that, and I want to say thank you for that. A family of seven will get to have Christmas this year, so we're very thankful, yes. So next week we have Dinner with the Neighbors. For those of you that are new, we partner with a ministry, Raise You Up, that ministers to the homeless on the streets of Charlotte, and we don't call them homeless people, we call them our neighbors, because they are, and any of us could be homeless at any time. You just don't realize how close you really are to that. And so our precious neighbors from Charlotte are coming next week, and this is what we're asking everybody to do. Instead of doing our normal dinner, we are going to do soups and chili. So if you will take this next week, whenever, and throw together your favorite soup or chili, throw it in a crock pot, and bring it next Sunday. That's what we're going to do. You can bring crackers, cornbread, whatever. We'll provide the drinks and all of that. But we just wanted to do something a little cozy and a little different after Christmas, not to put so much pressure on you to have to cook. So that's what our plans are for next Sunday. And we wish you all a very merry, merry Christmas, and hope that you enjoy this week with your family or friends, your loved ones, whatever, whoever God's put in your life. We just pray that you will make the most of it, and that we will all take time to remember the reason that we celebrate is because Jesus Christ came. Wow. What an incredible thought when you think the Savior of the world came for us so that we could be free. So God bless you, and have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.